On this episode, you'll hear from Bobby Ling of Grow Plant Shop and what inspired him and his wife, Emily, to launch their own plant shop in Fort Worth, Texas. Bobby will share his personal story of how their plant shop got started and how they have evolved throughout the years to become a staple plant shop in Fort Worth.
Bobby, you were born and raised in Fort Worth, correct?
Yep. I was born in a hospital over by like the Northeast Mall in that that neck of the woods.
Yeah.
And then I lived in that kind of area, that like Watauga kind of area until I was like five. And then I grew up in Haslett, just up 35.
Yeah.
And lived there for a really long time. And then I moved to Arlington to get an apartment. Man, that apartment got robbed, got my truck broken into. It was a lot, but I was paying, me and my buddy were paying $500 for 1,100 square feet.
Can't beat that.
Two-story apartment. Like, that doesn't exist.
That anymore. Apartment's probably triple now. So if it's still standing.
I don't know. I bet it's still there. I bet
probably.
I bet you it's still there.
Cool. So born and raised in the DFW area.
Yeah.
But before you got into the plant shop that you're in now, you joined the music industry, correct?
Yeah. I had always I got my drum kit when I was in like seventh or eighth grade. And then by like my freshman year of high school, I was in a band, started playing drums in this like death metal band or whatever. And that just kind of evolved through meeting different people and kind of being a part of like different scenes, different music scenes in DFW. Just kind of found myself in this metal band called Fit for a King, and they're out on tour right now, headlining, crushing. And it's cool because I'm like still, it's a weird thing, I'm still in the band.
Okay.
But I stopped touring in 2018. My last show with the band was in Johannesburg, South Africa, and it was a wild day. It was very, very emotional. It was like a bar, it's like a dirt floor bar, and dude, bodies are flying everywhere. I'm using like terrible equipment, like terrible rental equipment. Man. One of the greatest shows I've ever played. And then my boys, they stayed to go and do this like South African like safari experience. And I was like, well, I got to go home because I got to go lay tile in my trailer because I have to open my plant shop.
And
that was it. But so, I was touring actively full time.
Guitar player, right?
Play guitar. Okay. Yep. And that went on from 2010 to 2018. Yeah, May of 2018.
So how old were you around this time?
Well, I joined that band, I guess if I was born in 91, I'd have been, 19, 20.
20-ish.
Yeah, around 20, 21, something like that. Remember, I turned 21 in Baltimore, Maryland, under a bridge.
Under a bridge. How did you get there?
That's just,
you don't remember. It's a big blur.
I can see it clear as day, actually. Now we're playing a club called Sonar Lounge.
Yeah.
I think there was like 15 people there. It was my birthday, and nothing happened.
Nothing.
I just remember this like dicey bridge next to the venue, and I was like, this is it. The year before that, my birthday, I was at Walmart in the middle of some tornadoes happening all around us in like somewhere in like Missouri.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was interesting.
That was wild.
Yeah, that was cool.
How long were you in the music industry for? About 10-ish
yeah,
years?
I guess, yeah. I mean, we signed with a recording company or a record label called Solid State Records in like 2012, and then released our first album with them in 2013. So I guess that's technically my like actual kind of introduction into being a somewhat legitimate musician, I suppose. And I guess, and to tell you the truth, I'm still a part, I guess I'm still a part of the music industry.
Right.
Just not playing gigs regularly. Really, I'm only out if like our now guitar player, Daniel, if he, you know, he went to his brother's wedding. So he's like, can you come play this show in Spokane, Washington? I'm like, absolutely, I'll come play. You don't have to ask twice. And then a couple years ago, they were supporting a band called August Burns Red. Are you familiar with the heavy?
A little bit.
Kind of?
Yeah.
So they were supporting August Burns Red. And August Burns Red and some other people on the tour, they all caught COVID. There was like 20 people that caught COVID. Man. So there's like 9 shows that got postponed. And they were like, well, these makeup shows start in Dallas and then end in San Diego. Do you want to come play and we can be a 5-piece? And I was like, that is just the best thing anyone's ever asked me. I was like, I would love. So obviously I miss it. Obviously.
Right.
It's like, it's very much a part of me. I mean, the moment I had a chance to be in a band with some guys I didn't even know when I was 14, I was like, didn't even hesitate.
Yeah.
And just kind of been doing that same thing ever since. But yeah, no, I love the road. I love touring. I love playing shows. So anytime the opportunity presents itself,
you're up for it.
Gonna take it.
Nice. I bet, you know, from my point of view, I've never been an artist, but it sounds like a really, like, it can be a draining experience, a lot of traveling.
I think you're an artist.
Well, yeah.
I feel like you are an artist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a way. Yeah. I guess I don't tour, which is what differentiates me.
Oh, but man. I mean, you're designing your shop's merchandise, you're printing hats, you're making things. I mean, like, you've got a vision, so much of your business, and this is something that I, like, just recently kind of discovered, is like our little plant shop, so much of that is like artistically driven, and so much of your business is artistically driven. And I just didn't think about it like that for a long time, because I was just doing
when you're in the trenches, the thing, I guess you don't see it. Yeah.
Doing it, you know, like I'm not analyzing really anything about what we're doing or what we've done, and just making it happen because you love it.
Yeah.
But when you step back, and because maybe you find yourself in a place where you're like, you forget why you started in the first place, and you become a competitive person, and you're like worrying about numbers or whatever. And then you think about, well, why don't we start doing this in the first place? And you kind of have to ground yourself. And then if you look at it like an artistic outlet, it becomes much easier.
Very true.
But back to your question.
No, you're good. a lot of touring you were doing, a lot of shows you were doing, a lot of probably long nights. I guess it can drain anyone in the end. What was it that made you, I guess, come to the decision that I no longer want to tour as much as
it was? I mean, it was just starting a family. Just having kids, because I was traveling, I was touring full time while we had our daughter Finley, and she was a few years old. And then Emily was pregnant with Cash, and you know, she was handling it. Really, none of it was about, like, you know, me being worried about how things were going at home. But I did one tour after Cash was born. And I was just not in a good place.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't enjoying myself. That, like, childlike enjoyment and fulfillment, and, you know, whatever rush you get from doing this thing that you love was gone. And I remember being in Florida, and our singer, Ryan, he was like, just got to ask, are you okay? Like, you do not seem yourself. And I was like, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
I was like, I feel horrible. I didn't understand what it was, but it was depression. And it's like, I just got to figure out how to get home and stay home. And so that just kind of segued, well, what's my next favorite thing besides playing guitar? And like, I love plants. And started studying, started just reading, started online plant shopping, started buying plants, started, you know, just really kind of dove into that culture, I guess, like head first fully. And so, yeah, that was the main thing, just being home with family and getting my mind right. and yeah, just being home with them.
So it was one of those things where you were there physically, but mentally you were just not
nowhere
present. Yeah.
Nowhere. Yeah. Not enjoying it. Dude, I was short. I had a temper. I was angry. Like, because there, you know, there are things with like setting up stage equipment or like being late to shows. There are things that can cause, you know, someone in that position to be anxious or feel nervous, right, or whatever. And that's all like normal. But it, all of it was like really amplified. Anytime something like wasn't going right or like some of my gear wasn't working right, like I remember like throwing my phone across the stage and like, that's not me. Like, right, that's not normal. Like, really nobody should be doing anything like that. I remember, yeah, Tuck, our bass player, was like, dude, don't throw your phone. Like, we're poor. Don't. Like, so yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was not there mentally.
So you looked at plants as like a way out in a way, right?
Yeah,
like you started like getting into reading about them, exploring what that was all about.
Totally. Yeah. And you know, Emily and I were always at Archie's and we were always at Callaway's. Mm-hmm. We had our house in Ryan Place. We were always landscaping. We were all, I mean, just like, I feel like all of our free time was revolved around like putting plants in the ground or bringing home house plants. I remember bringing home our first house plant and just being like, oh buddy, oh boy. And then like soon after that, found like Pinterest and Instagram.
Yeah.
And there's inspiration everywhere. And it was just game over. It, yeah, was just, oh, here we are.
Start of a long journey.
Here we are. And it just felt so right. It just, yeah, felt so cool. It was just this thing that we loved. And then it kind of turned into like, well, there are plants that I'm seeing on the internet. There are plants that I'm seeing in Europe specifically, mm-hmm, that just don't exist over here. And there's like a couple like cool people on Instagram that do have these plants.
Yeah.
I don't know where they got them. So then it kind of became this thing. It was like, if we could be a cool plant shop that somehow finds these plants and has these plants available, we probably do okay.
Yeah.
And that sounds like a lot of fun. So that was basically it. And then that turned into like, okay, well, what's it going to be called? I feel like we came up with Grow Plant Shop almost immediately.
Really? And just like a natural.
Almost immediately. Yeah. Yeah. We still have the, like the original, like, you know, the conception of the idea. We have the folder, the binder. We've got all the like the OG plans and like.
So you guys sat down and planned this
at
out
at our dinner table. At
business our, plan type of thing.
Yep. At, yeah, our dinner table. And it's like, these are all the plants we want to have. And like, oh, and we're poor, so we're going to buy a trailer to sell plants out of. Yeah. And it all just felt very natural and it all felt very cool. Yeah, I remember just being like, how could this not work? Like, how, yeah, like how, this is going to be so much fun. This is going to be so cool.
When you made the leap from your band to starting the plant shop, were you a little nervous or scared? Or were you just so convinced that, no, this is like the right, this feels right.
Yeah,
this is what I want to do.
Felt right. There were some nerves.
Right.
It felt right. But once we got the Airstream, the workload, the physical workload to renovate, then became this thing that was all I could think about.
You're all in at that point. Yeah.
The money was gone.
Mm-hmm.
We're putting things on credit. You know, I don't know how to do anything regarding like renovation or whatever. And
you're just watching YouTube, stuff like that, to learn how to do.
Yeah. Pretty much figuring out what tools I needed to do certain things. And oh man, but that's a whole story. That's a whole
the whole renovation. did you have that in your family, the Airstream, or did you just find it, like start actively looking for one?
We found one on Craigslist, and so random, ended up being someone that I knew through, huh, like kind of, like mutual band friends.
Okay.
And I had met her name was Julie, and I did not know it was her at the time when we messaged about the Airstream. And yeah, that was crazy. That was like worlds colliding. It's like, this is insane that I'm buying this from you right now.
Yeah.
Or trying to buy this from you right now. And, yeah, so, and we still have it.
We still have it now. Mm-hmm. Was it in good shape? Was it, did
it's
it
okay.
recommend
the shell? The shell was in good shape. Mm-hmm. There's probably rust, within the walls okay. and under the floor that I didn't want to unpack that. I didn't want to know. It's like, if we're going to go through the floor of this thing, now's not the time.
Because
we
can't,
I mean, because to like, they call it like stripping the skins or like taking the skins down.
Yeah.
Dude, you open that can.
Can of worms.
Come on. I mean.
You don't want to do it.
I was just like, I don't even know what it's going to cost. So like if they find rust and they have to like re-weld the bones of this thing and then like re-insulate, lay the subfloor, put the skins back up. Like, I don't know how to do any of that stuff. So I got to pace. And I was like, I'm only going to do the things that I know how to do.
Yeah.
Until. So at our old house, we had to get. There's just enough room to put this trailer in our backyard, but we had to back it up our driveway.
Uh-huh.
The driveway was too steep to back the trailer up because it was going to bottom out, scrape, mess up the aluminum. And so I just said, well, we just need a better incline or less of an incline.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just build a 30-foot ramp to flatten the driveway to get over the sidewalk.
Wow.
So I did that. And that was insane.
It actually worked? Or
the ramp worked. And when I got to the top of the driveway, I took my eyes off the mirror and I smashed the Airstream into the corner of our porch, destroying the right rear like panel or the right rear piece of aluminum of the trailer. And that was the angriest I've ever been. You could take all the moments that I've been mad in my life and put them together and it still would not be I think I was like running a fever from how like mad I was.
Oh wow. So
I found a shop to take it to, and I'm driving to like Carrollton.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a box of Subway tile in the back of the trailer that the previous owner had just left in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that box of Subway tile smashed through some rotted subfloor on I-30. So it took the belly pan, it took the trunk with it. So I see insulation, subway tile, the hoses, everything that was in the trunk of the trailer is now just like flying over the highway.
Oh my God.
And I just said, Lord help me. Like,
were you questioning your decision by then? Or?
No, because I still couldn't. It's like, I already bought the damn thing. It's like, can't look back. Just got to press on. At least I'm on my way to a repair shop.
Hey,
you know, shout out North Dallas RV. They did great work.
Mm-hmm.
I needed them the other day for something, and they did not answer their phone. So I don't know what's up with that. But so I found a new shop. I got a new guy. So that was cool. So I had to take the ramp apart.
Okay.
Because it was there for like 30 days or whatever. And then went back, got the trailer, put the ramp back together, backed it up the driveway in the rain at night.
Oh, wow.
Finally got it parked. Glorious. Dude.
The work started.
Glorious. Then.
Yeah.
And then the next day, I left for Los Angeles to go record an album with my band. And I was gone for... So that's my thing. I don't think I mentioned. It's like the reason I'm still in the band is because I still write music with them.
Okay.
And it was just so surreal. It's so weird to get the trailer parked. What an accomplishment. What a massive lift off both of our backs. And then it's like, all right, well, see you in 6 weeks because I got to go make this record. And it was wild. I remember chatting with dudes out there being like, I got this plan. I got this trailer. I'm going to open this plant shop. And it was just this dream at the time. And I was like, I don't know how to do any of this stuff, but
here we go.
This is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you got the trailer up to this point. You're planning to work on it. Did you have a place to park it by then, or were you still looking?
We really wanted that lot on Magnolia. That was plan A.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have a plan B.
Okay.
And that was, dude, Emily, I mean, made all that happen. Because we get to the city, we're like, okay, this is all our stuff. We got all the things that we need.
Permitting and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, everything that you need from us. It's all here. It all exists. So we sit down with like a clerk at planning and development, and he's like looking at our stuff, and he's like, no.
You gotta know.
No, this just doesn't seem like something that the city is going to be interested in. And I'm like, well, that actually is wrong. In my brain, that's wrong. And Emily set up an appointment and got a meeting with the head of planning and development, you know, upstairs.
Right.
And I was just like, good luck. Like, cause this is all you. Like,
yeah.
It's just not going to hit the same if I'm up there. I don't know why, but this is all you.
So they weren't on board with the Airstream being a business or like a location?
I guess. What he eventually said was Austin is having issues, and shout out Austin. No disrespect to Austin. Austin is having issues with food trucks pouring grease into their sewers. He's like, so Fort Worth doesn't want anything to do with any of that. And I was like, okay, well, that's their problem, I guess. Well, maybe all of our problems somehow in some grander picture. But but we knew that this person was not able to like make, or I guess just didn't have the ability to say yes to this type of thing.
Okay.
More so it was just kind of his job to say no, because it just didn't align with what Fort Worth was doing at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So Emily gets upstairs with the department head, and she's like, sounds like fun, don't make a mess, good luck.
Oh.
And then stamped yes on our thing.
Nice.
And that was it. That was cool.
Nice.
That was really cool.
So you got the green light too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
To get started. And then after, you know, the remodel of the Airstream, how long did that take? A few weeks or?
I don't know.
A few months, maybe.
Feels like a couple months.
Okay.
Maybe.
So the flooring, painting, adding shelving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just took it down to a shell, replaced all the subfloor that mm-hmm. had exploded on the highway, and any wood that was rotting, we replaced. You know, painted the walls, laid the floor, put the shelves in. And it all ended up being like relatively like basic, like entry level
yeah.
work. You know, the hardest part was just like matching the curvature of the walls.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause to build our bathroom, the sheetrock and the wood and everything had to curve with the walls, and then the subfloor or the flooring in general obviously follows the curvature.
Yeah.
And nothing in the trailer is parallel. Not a moment. It may have been back in the 70s, yeah. but it's not anymore.
Not anymore.
So that's always fun. That was cool. And then doing the tile was cool. I think Emily cut most of the tiles and placed most of the tiles while I was in South Africa. And then when I got home, we like laid it all together. Mm-hmm. And yeah. But there were still obstacles. There were still things. Even when we like, you know, had to put that ramp back together to get it down my driveway
mm-hmm.
and build a ramp to get it onto the lot on Magnolia. And then the inspector comes out like the day before we're supposed to open. And he's like, oh, this is weird. You're not supposed to park on grass. Like this.
Really?
He's like, I heard about you guys. I know what you're doing, but everything in my book says that you can't be parked on grass.
Oh.
So I'm like, well, we open tomorrow. We've already
announced it and everything.
Yeah. I mean, like this is happening or whatever. Or maybe it wasn't the next day, but it was just like, we're here. The trailer's here.
It's there.
And
physically.
You're telling us that we can't. And yeah, it was basically just getting back in touch with the department head that mm-hmm. Emily met with to just get her to say that she green-lighted everything. And then that inspector was just like, cool, that's all I needed. That's all I needed to hear. Sweet. Mm. Good luck.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, you had to jump through a lot of hoops then.
That's the way it is, though. I feel like everybody, I mean, anybody starting a business when like you're not paying contractors.
Yeah.
And
it's your first time doing anything like this. So mm-hmm. everything is a new experience.
Absolutely.
Much.
I mean, yeah. we were sitting in Kraftwerk applying for our first credit card
mm-hmm.
as a couple or as a business in general, you know, and I remember I felt like just so dumb sitting there like researching and reading up on like what the best credit card was to get initially and then getting denied for like two different Amexes all this. And it's like, well, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a lot of whoever's listening to this. When you start a business, you get a lot of no's. So
mm-hmm.
it's the part you push through. You got to push through, I guess.
And it's just not an option. Taking a no is just not an option. When Emily had left her job, I had made this massive decision. And I mean, it was so hard to like tell my band, like, dudes, I am not going to do this anymore. I can't play these. I can't tour anymore. How do you undo that?
Right.
I don't think you do.
Yeah.
And you just can't take no for an answer.
Yeah. Let's talk about the plants for a minute. About how did you know what to put in this Airstream? Like, did you already have like a set plan, or did you look at competitors and see what's like more popular, or was this just like your preference? Like, this is what I want to sell.
It's always been our taste.
Okay.
It's always just been us plant shopping on a large scale. Okay. That's it. Just stuff that we like. And to this day, one of our shopkeepers will like roll their eyes at some of the plants we bring in on Monday, and she's like, "These don't sell. Like, these are just gonna sit around." I'm like, "Well, I like these.
Like, yeah,
start your own plant shop." You know? Sorry.
I mean, I can't imagine like what it is to start a plant shop. Like, there's so many in my head varieties of plants or house plants that you can have in your home. Mm-hmm. Like how. I guess, yeah. I mean, you have to come down to your preference and...
Totally. Yeah, it's all... It really is. Because when you start figuring out... This was an interesting journey, is figuring out where and how to get them. And once you jump over that, you have these lists that you can...
Choose from.
Yeah, you're essentially shopping. So you have those parameters of like, well, this is all I know that exists out there. This is all... As far as I know, this is all we can get.
Yeah.
And we have, I don't know, that the trailer was like 240 square feet, something like that. So it wasn't hard to just pick our favorites out of all that. And then you include pottery on top of it. Mm-hmm. It's like, man, there's really not that many plants in here. It's just our taste. Just, you know, the stuff that we liked and stuff that we thought looked cool and assumed other people would like.
Yeah. Was it like a trial and error type of thing where you think this will sell, so you bring it in? Especially when you're starting out, I feel like that's tricky. Like, you know, you've never sold to the public before, so you're like, oh, I'm buying 10 of these, 15 of these, and hoping.
Yeah. Yeah, we found initially that people were just excited about everything.
Okay.
When we first kicked off in 2018, didn't matter. Dude, plants were just plants, and they were all exciting. They were all cool. And we knew there were some that were definitely like a little hotter than others. But you have so many different types of people coming in and shopping, looking for different things. You got to have variety.
Right.
But we did have to learn that, like, okay, maybe we don't need 90 of these. Mm-hmm. Or like maybe we should have got more than 6 of these or whatever. But that's the ebb and flow. I mean, that's like... Did I say ebb and flow?
That's the
ebb and flow of it all. It's always changing. What we notice now is like the frustrating thing is like there'll be a plant similar to when we were coming up with this idea. I would see a plant in Europe or I would see a plant in Asia that I'm like, oh, I want one of those. Mm-hmm. And to this day, I'm tracking those plants down. And then I'll finally get a case of them or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're kind of expensive or whatever. And it's like Fort Worth is not excited about this.
Yeah.
But I am.
Yeah.
We have plants in our shop right now that like I grinded so hard and tried so hard, scoured the earth to find these plants to have them in our store that are not selling right now just because they're not it at the moment.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, this plant is part of the reason why I was so excited to do all this in the first place. And I don't really care that like they're not selling, because the fact that they're on our shelves means so much to me.
Right.
And yeah. I know that's weird, but
it's pretty wild. I guess I never knew, you know, until I met the owners next door. Like, there's plants I can get up to $1,000 or more.
Dude.
Like, these are serious
collectors
of like plant collectors, and I'm like, like a whole nother world to
it
me.
It is
that's and wild,
and that is something that is
and there's people that won't even question it. They'll drop whatever you ask. How much they'll pay for it.
Yep. I saw a plant last year auction for $23,000.
Golly.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. A plant.
A plant.
That could get bugs or like a fungus. And like you could do everything in your power to keep this thing alive. But sometimes God wants it dead, or whoever whoever is in charge wants it dead, and it dies. And bro, yeah, that's crazy.
That's wild.
But that's nice to have so much money.
It is nice. I wonder if you get insurance for something. Is there such thing as a plant insurance? Plant.
You could maybe? Probably. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe.
There's got to be something out probably. There for that.
That's an interesting question, though. I've never thought about that.
I might Google it after we're done here.
I mean, our business is insured, so I guess that means that our plants are insured.
Yeah, because usually they insure what's inside of
it.
Cool. So you got your inventory down. How did you get the word out about Grow? Marketing, you know, when you launch your business, how do you tell people about it? So
Instagram was different at the time. Mm-hmm. It was May 8th, I think, of 2018 when we officially launched our page. We did this weird thing where, like, and I think it would still be cool now, where we would post 3 photos at a time.
Yeah.
So that the feed was very like built and very like square and very uniform. The colors, the flow is very balanced. So I think that the imagery initially, you know, we were proud of it. We thought we were doing a good job taking pictures.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell my trick. I don't know if this will still work with the way that the app is designed, but I was on tour. I'm in Corpus Christi sitting at a coffee shop. This is the first day. I don't know where I got this idea, but I was, y'all may have been a part of this. I would go to Fort Worth business Instagrams and I would follow everyone that was following those pages.
Okay.
Anyone that I knew of,
right.
You know.
I think that's maybe how I heard of you guys. Like I got a random follow and I'm like, Grow a Plant Shop.
And I did that for a long time. And it was, I think my goal was like, I'm going to do this and I want to get 50 followers a day. And I'm assuming they're all Fort Worth people because they're all following, you know, Stir Crazy and whoever else, you know.
Pine Barbecue.
Yeah.
Melt.
Yeah. Loft 22. Yeah. Like, who, you know. Yeah. So did that for a long time. A really, really long time. And I think between that and posting pretty pictures.
That helped get the word out.
Yeah. And then
I think it also helped that the way you designed your Airstream, there was like a nostalgia about Airstreams. Man.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the outside was really, and the inside too, but like it became a picture spot in a way for Magnolia.
It really did, man. And I loved that. I loved every second of that. I was so proud. Anytime people would like group up and take pictures, anytime somebody would go to Melt, and get ice cream and go and sit on our like display benches while we were closed and like sit and eat ice cream. Dude, I could tear up right now. We're talking about crying before this. Like I might cry. No, I'm good right now. But dude, it became a really special thing. And and it was hard to let go of that. It was hard to move on from that.
Yeah.
You know, a part of me.
I mean, you had engagement shoots there. You had family. Yeah. I'm assuming family pictures there sometimes.
All kinds of stuff. Yeah. All kinds of stuff. I mean, yeah, people would rent our Airstream for an hour after hour, like on a Sunday. Sunday we were open 12 to 3.
Mm-hmm.
And people would book from 3 to 4 or 4 to 5.
Yeah.
And then I would just go next door and like grab a beer at La Zona or whatever and wait for them to like wrap up their photo shoot. And it's like, man, I didn't even try to make this like venue thing, but like we have a little like destination here, however big or small it actually was. But yeah, that's cool. Cause it kind of became this thing that we didn't even think about it like that initially.
Yeah. No, I mean, y'all did a great job.
Thank you.
It's a very eye catching when you drive down Magnolia. Magnolia's full of buildings, like taller buildings. These are old buildings too, but it definitely stood out.
It did, man. And the amount of people, I mean, I got kids at like a local school here in the neighborhood. And so I'm like always talking to parents and all this stuff. And anytime our business comes up, 9 times out of 10, if I say we were in that little trailer on Magnolia, they always know what I'm talking about, whether they shopped with us or not. And that's not really like a common thing. I feel like a lot of businesses, it's just hard to have this thing where you like stand out because you're in bricks and windows and all that, and you kind of blend in. So yeah, I've just, yeah, so thankful that we were like to have the idea initially and that it turned into,
yeah,
to what it was and what it is.
Yeah. Early on, did you have employees helping you guys out, or was it just you and your wife?
Yeah, man,
pretty much working it.
A long time, it was just Emily and I. Glory days.
Yeah.
It's just you and your wife just sitting around. Maybe you're busy, maybe you're not.
Yeah.
But like, those were the good days. When it was just me and her, man, I still like think about just like leaning on the register and she's like over in the trailer, like dusting or like, cause she's like the merchandise master, mm-hmm. like just makes it so beautiful. I just like stand there and just like watch her do her thing. I'm like, this is insane though. Eventually someone's going to come buy a plant and I'm going to make some money, but like this is our job right now. This is just the craziest thing. So, yeah. But yeah, then our first employee, her name's Taylor. She's still with us. Mm-hmm. If you come to our shop, and Parker, the dog, he is almost our unofficial shop mascot.
Yeah.
Taylor's been with us for a long time. And then came Fernando. Yeah, he is also like, he's been around for, we were just talking about this. He's been with us for 4 years now. And since then, we have hired a couple other people that have kind of come and gone, moved on with life. You know, everybody's going to find different things to do. And yeah.
What were some challenges with selling out of an Airstream? It looks, you know,
the size.
It looked great. It looked, you know, y'all did an awesome job, you know, with it, the look of it and everything.
Thank
but
you.
I can't imagine. Sometimes, you know, the weather affects it. What were some of the things you ran into?
Yeah, you nailed that. If it was cold and rainy, it's like pack up, go home. Like, no one's coming out. Like the grass is muddy. Like it's, it's not, you know, that.
The bathroom, I'm sure.
Didn't exist. Yeah. Yeah, we got a document signed that Robbie at the time was stir crazy, signed saying that our customers could use their bathroom in order for the city to sign off on us not having a bathroom. And I mean, yeah, so the air conditioning was like, okay, but if it's 100 degrees outside,
it got pretty warm in there.
Yeah. It'd be like 88, 90, whatever. When we first opened, we didn't have proper electricity on the lot. It actually took a long time. We tapped in, dude, Lazona, they were so cool, man. Off the grid, off the books. They're like, just like mess with the breaker and try to plug your trailer into the back of Saint Sophia.
Yeah.
And we're like, really? I was like, my uncle-in-law is an electrician and is an off the books kind of guy.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we did that. Nothing blew up and everything was good. But then new people came in and they're like, you cannot be doing this. So then we had my boy Henry come out and he dug the holes and set up the power and we got proper power. But before all that, you know, we were open, soft opening. And then maybe for like 2 weeks, we were running off of a Honda generator.
Okay.
That if you don't change the oil every like 8 or 9 hours, it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
So this, our first Saturday being open, it was like 116 degrees and the generator stopped working.
Oh no.
And it was noisy. And I was like, I don't know how to change the oil on this thing. Turns out it's really easy to change the oil on a generator. So, but yeah. And then the size, man, like if you put 12 people in there, nobody else is coming in. And those 12 people are not moving around very easily.
It's like you're crammed.
You are.
In a way. Yeah.
You are. And I mean, if you're a certain type of person, no big deal. If you're the other type of person, you're not coming back to that because you just don't want to be. If you're in this thing and the wind kind of shakes the trailer a little bit, I've seen people like put their hands up on the wall and like, we're fine. We're not going to go. Like this thing's really heavy. It shouldn't. It's probably not going to blow over.
Yeah.
So yeah, those were really just the main things. And then we didn't have water on the lot. So we were running a hose to our landlord's building through a parking lot. So I was always replacing this hose because it was all, I would get a text like, hey Bobby, your hose is leaking. Our parking lot's full of water. Like, oh, Sorry. So yeah, I was always replacing that hose, and if I was like really feeling responsible, I would disconnect it and coil it up when we were done working at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But that didn't always happen.
Yeah. Yeah. So with those challenges that came along, how were you always looking for a permanent spot? Was that in the plan?
Yeah.
How did that come about to your new location?
We just ran out. We just knew we were running out of space.
Mm-hmm.
And man, it was just time. We just knew. It was just time, man. And when we had opened our like. We had gotten a new office over in like the South Main area.
Yeah.
And we're spending X amount of dollars to have this building mm-hmm. that people could not come in, or we didn't allow it open to the public. We didn't have shoppers come in. And every morning I would run to that building, grab all of the online pickups, and then run back to the Airstream, drop mm-hmm. them all off. And that was a good like hour and a half out of my morning. And it was just always bugging me, like a spider on the back of my neck, just always thinking like, dude, if you just need to get all this under one roof.
Yeah.
Because it just doesn't make sense for your like storage building and your greenhouse building to cost like five times what your storefront is costing.
Yeah.
And man, in the space that we have now, it is, dude, that thing is gold.
Yeah.
Gold. I mean.
It's a nice space. Big store.
Well, it's just hard to, now, yeah. Stuff like that doesn't really exist.
No.
And everything's getting so expensive. The location is fire. The original is leaving, though.
I heard.
So that.
They're closing.
That might change the, well, they're moving to North Main. Like right, close to the stockyards, I guess.
But they've been there since like 1920, I heard, something like that. 1930.
I don't know. I don't know how long.
Years.
Forever. I don't know. I know that the lease that was signed initially was like is like 1891.
Golly.
And it was on like a napkin or whatever. And that's why things got weird with them. But or one of the reasons why things got weird with them.
Yeah.
But so the energy is going to change over there when the original leaves, for sure. But yeah, I love our new building. I mean, yeah, we like added over 10 times the square footage, proper bathroom, proper air conditioner.
Mm-hmm.
And on rainy days, it could affect,
right,
you know, how things go in the shop for the day. But for the most part, it's all good. Like, you know, we don't have that feeling of like, oh, we shouldn't be here because it's raining. So,
yeah. So this was 2021 you moved?
Yeah, we opened in February of 2021.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you made the leap to the new spot. Were you nervous leaving Magnolia behind? Did you ever think like...
A little.
I guess moving locations. We've moved, I think, locations just once, I think, or twice. But my fear was always like, oh, will people follow to the new store? Mm-hmm. Will they get used to... Mm-hmm. You know, migrating over to this new area. Yeah. Well, they think we closed.
Right.
Like, that's another thing.
I hated that. Yeah. I hated the idea of like, you know, people driving to the lot that we used to be parked on and thinking like, oh, they must have gone under,
mm-hmm.
or like, you know, they didn't make it or whatever. And I'm sure there were plenty of people that did think that.
Yeah.
You know? 'Cause not everybody's staring at Instagram.
Keeping
up with updates.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been a few people that have come in recently that were like, oh, I didn't realize you moved locations. And I'm like, I'm so happy for you that you are just so unaware of what's happening on your phone. That's great.
Yeah.
That rocks. So, so I was definitely nervous. Just with all the reasons that you just said,
mm-hmm.
you know, just normal feelings. But our grand opening, February 6th, 2 years ago, and we had a line wrapped around the building all day long. But it was also COVID, and we were also like only 12 people in the shop at a time, got a mask up, whole thing.
Yeah.
So that definitely helped the line. But
so the neighborhood embraced you guys pretty well.
Neighborhood loves us.
You're in the Camp Bowie area now.
Yeah, neighborhood loves us. We get a lot of support from those communities. Or just that. I mean, Arlington Heights, and then I don't know the name of the neighborhood behind us. We're surrounded by some gorgeous neighborhoods. Man, there's some like country clubs back there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really, really nice place to be. especially being by like Lucille's,
yeah,
the original Uncle Julio's. Those are just, they're Fort Worth staples.
Yeah.
Truly Fort Worth staples. And yeah, to be like Sherwin Williams, you know. So to be like nestled in with all those, you feel like you're a part of that, almost a part of that history, mm-hmm, with the town. And that's like when we got our mural painted, when Don Smith, mm-hmm, did our signage, it says EST 2018. Cause I was like, I want it to be 2028. And this thing, like, wow, they've been there 100 years.
Wow. Yeah.
That, you know, that's kind of the idea,
yeah,
behind that.
Cool. You know, besides the bathroom, what else, what do you offer now that, in the beginning you didn't have? So.
Sure.
I know you guys do plant rentals right now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Consultations.
Yeah.
You install as well.
Yes. So, and those were things that we definitely did. I feel like we've always done rentals. Like anytime somebody hit us up, hey, I need 12 cactus for my wedding, mm-hmm, or whatever. Like that's something that we've always done. But yeah, now we have like a plant maintenance, okay, program where we cruise around town and take care of people's plants, and we install, you know, I'll come out or one of our guys will come out and, you know, have a walkthrough of the space. And then we put together like a proposal or just send over ideas, and just with like beautiful pictures of us just like explaining the plants and saying where they can go. And so you kind of have this like outline of like all the different plants that'll work in the desired spaces. And then it's like, okay, cool. We'll come, we'll put them in, and then we'll see you every week, mm-hmm, after that. And you don't have to worry about those plants, and we'll replace plants for free if something decides to not go well, or if a plant dies, whatever happens. We've never had a plant die on us, but we have had things, you know, just leaves get crispy, right, or like a specific plant not really love a certain location. So we always find a substitute and bring that out, and that's always on the house. And mm-hmm, it's a lot of fun. It can be a lot of work, you know, figuring out how to get a bunch of water into a building,
yeah,
without making a mess, with, you know, kind of trying to be this like, I'm here, but you don't know I'm here type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's cool. It's a fun challenge.
Yeah.
It's really cool. And we've met some really interesting people along the way.
Nice.
Yeah.
Has it been a challenge? I guess your inventory, like, I don't know, tripled, maybe four times, five times, maybe what you had at the Airstream.
I guess I can't. It's hard.
It's grown.
It's hard to quantify. Yeah, it's hard to quantify.
Was that a challenge to maintain all the plants? I mean,
in the shop,
right?
Not really.
Still kind of the same.
Not really. Yeah. It's just kind of part of it, you know. You just kind of have this instinct of like, it's the same way that like your plant on your shelf at home needs to be taken care of. Mm-hmm. You kind of have that feeling, even if there's like 1,000 of them,
okay,
or whatever, you know. And all of everybody that works with us, we're all on the same page. It's just like, you gotta walk around with the hose every day,
yeah,
and like you're watering something every day, and that's just kind of the way that it is. And I don't see it as a challenge. I think that it could be like laborious, or feeling a little laborious to like walk around with a jug of water or a watering can or whatever, yeah, and it might not be the most like exciting thing to do, but it's just part of the job.
Yeah,
it's just kind of part of it. And we have a great reputation. I mean, we get a lot of reviews saying that our plants look really healthy, so shout out to our team, everybody that that works with us that stays on top of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because our plants really do look good.
Yeah. They do. It looks very green in there.
So, that's the plan.
Yeah. What do you think has kept you motivated to, you know, through those ups and downs as business owners? Like you said, we wing it a lot. Yeah. A lot of the times we go through the highest highs, lowest lows sometimes. Like what is something that keeps you motivated to keep going?
Well, I mean, I think it's a combination of just, you know, mainly having a passion for it. And I think, you know, somebody said once that like, if you're not passionate about what you're doing, if you don't love this business that you're starting, you're gonna quit.
Mm-hmm.
And that just doesn't really feel, it's not one of those things where like, it's not an option to quit. It's not an option to stop. It's just like, I'm just not going to.
Yeah.
Cause it's just this thing that I love. Same thing with my band. I feel the way that I feel about Grow is the same thing with Fit for a King. Like, I don't ever want that band to break up. I don't ever want to stop playing. Like Ozzy Osbourne mm-hmm. is like, I'm going to come out to Europe. I'm going to play this show. I'm going to die. You're going to bring me back to life. Yeah. I'll play another show. That's how I feel about all this.
Yeah.
And when you have kids and their futures riding on how you handle your life and how you handle your business, I mean, that's a lot of motivation. That's a lot of fuel to, like, you know, I want to keep this thing alive and I want this thing to really flourish so that, like we were talking about, I want to pass this business down to my kids and mm-hmm. let them turn it into whatever they want to turn it into or whatever. Or maybe I'll always be a part of it or whatever.
Yeah. Awesome.
But, yeah. And I'm sure there's more. I feel like there's always more, but those feel like the big things that keep us going, that keep the fire burning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Where can people stay up to date with Grow Plant Shop?
So we've got our Instagram, Grow Plant Shop, mm-hmm. the original Grow Plant Shop. We were the first, to my knowledge.
Are there more now?
There are. Probably there copycats. Are others. Yeah. They're not, I don't think they're copycats. And like we were saying, it's an inspiration.
Inspiration.
I don't know why you would call your business something that already exists in another place. Man, we've had issues where, like, we'll get an online order and then we'll get an email from that person saying, like, I'm so sorry, I thought that you were my local shop in North Carolina or whatever. And we'll be like, yeah, that's weird. How about we cover the cost of your shipping and we just send you the plants that you ordered? And they're like, great, you got a new customer. I'm like, wow. Why did that plant shop out there call themselves this
the same thing?
Because they just lost that opportunity or whatever.
Yeah.
Not the end of the world, not a big deal. But yeah, so Grow Plant Shop on Instagram, Grow Plant Shop on TikTok, Grow Plant Shop on Facebook. And we're at 4800 Camp Bowie Boulevard, Fort Worth, Texas, 76107.
107.
Yeah. Yep.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Bobby, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having
thanks
me.
Thanks for sharing your story.
Absolutely.
I'm sure we'll hopefully inspire someone else to start their own business.
I hope so, man.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Awesome. Well, thanks again.
Thank you.